You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, the WNBA playoffs tip off tonight with a doubleheader on ESPN2 and the app. First-round games, both single elimination. So it's win or your season is over. Dallas and Chicago at 8 Eastern, then New York and Phoenix. Outstanding WNBA action coming your way tonight on ESPN2. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios here at the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase. We are jam-packed. We got D. Wood. We got Bartholomew, whose eyebrows are intact. Lewis Riddick and Jeff Darlington and Adam Schefter and a whole lot are together today as we roll on this Thursday. Let's go for hour number two. It is time to get up with introspective Aaron. He's not having it anymore, and he's more than happy to tell you why. The question is, what impact does all this have on his team? Meanwhile, the decision in Chicago has been made, or has it? We'll try to explain exactly what they're doing now and why. And then, when they're right, they're right. I'm all in on the Cowboys, and I will give you the single biggest reason why. Assuming Damian Woody doesn't throw me out the window, all that and more, as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now with Aaron Rodgers. The man is frustrated, has been for a while. For the third straight day yesterday, he went after his critics. It all started shortly after the Packers beat the Lions on Monday Night Football. I want you to hear a little bit of Aaron from Monday and then Tuesday and then what he said yesterday.
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
It's absolute horseshit to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state and, you know, my focus.
I do want to maybe rephrase or refocus what I said. I strongly believe in everybody's ability to have an opinion, and I respect the fact that they have an opinion and should have an opinion. My issue is a platform given to individuals who only desire to say inflammatory things that are not based in fact. Personally, I think I would be a little sensitive to people questioning my commitment to this team. Said it from the start, if I wasn't 100% committed to the squad and my team, then I wouldn't have come back.
All right, so much there that is interesting. And to be clear, yes, there are trolls out there in the world. I think he's talking primarily about JerMichael Finley.
When yes, say giving, main mains.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying giving a platform to a person who has an agenda. That's what he believes about his former teammate, JerMichael Finley, one way or the other. Lewis, I want to start this with you. Before we get into the football team, just because, again, you were one of the few people who had a lengthy conversation with Aaron last week, because you were doing the game on Monday Night Football. What did you get out of your discussions with him about where he is right now emotionally?
Look, he's as invested as he's ever been. He truly does have a love for that organization as far as the players in that locker room are concerned. The guys who are actually out there on the football field. He very often makes reference to the fact that it's about the people. He really does believe that. He really is invested in the people on the ground, the people who are making a difference. And really, in our world, that really means the guys that he's out there playing with. He is committed to them. He loves his teammates, and it doesn't matter. He talked about guys that are frontline starters and all pros and pro bowlers to the guys who are just who are young and green and trying to figure their way out as far as being a professional and being a professional for the Green Bay Packers. He's invested in all of that. He has a very good relationship with his coaching staff. He is very much so dialed into the things that Matt LaFleur wants to have done, and I think you saw that result in a performance against Detroit, especially in the second half, where Aaron was throwing absolute darts. He was dropping that football into 1-foot by 1-foot boxes where defenders had no shot. And you only do that if you are, well, obviously, one, if you're very, very skilled, but two, if you're mentally dialed in and exactly what needs to be done. Because he knows this about that football team, too. He's going to need to carry this team until the defense can really start finding its footing. And he knows he's going to have to show resilience and leadership to a level that maybe he didn't even, that maybe he's going to be even higher than what he has shown in the past. So for people to question the fact that he's, whether or not he's committed to this football team, is just ridiculous. And that's what I got out of listening to him and then watching him play.
And I think that's the most important point. So let's put the melodrama behind us. Yeah. Let's just get down to what really matters here. He wants this to be the last dance. Well, I was there when the Bulls had the last dance. It ended with them holding up the trophy at the end. Is this team good enough to do that, Bart?
Not even close. I think this team has gotten caught by a lot of the teams in the NFC. When you look at, you know, the NFC West going to get four teams in, and they're going to have to play a wild card against Green Bay, who's going to win the division. And any one of those teams, would we be surprised if we say the Cardinals beat them in the playoffs? Would we be surprised if we said the Seattle Seahawks beat them in the playoffs? Would we be surprised if we said the San Francisco 49ers, who have been their nemesis? This team is built to beat certain type of teams. Unfortunately, the rest of the league has built themselves up to the kryptonite of what, you know, the Green Bay is all about.
So you'd like San Francisco Sunday night in this game?
Beat the brakes off.
Are you willing to go eyebrows on it? This the eyebrow wager? I'm trying to get, Bart Scott last week said he'd bet his eyebrow on a certain game.
But this is the thing, Greeny. I need somebody to go with me. I can't just be out there by myself.
Well, I mean, I'm not crazy.
You going to get on that top rope with me? You going to get on it? Listen. All right, listen. Okay, I'll put my eyebrows up if you come here next week with a Prince mustache.
Well, I want that
paper-thin Prince mustache.
I'm not capable of these things. I don't know. My face is my moneymaker here, Bart. I don't know what you're talking about. Dean Wood, let's come back to you and try and make this serious again. Are the Packers good enough to do what Aaron, he came back for one reason and one reason only, and that is to try and win a championship with this group? Are they good enough to do it?
As of right now, from what I've seen the first couple weeks, heck no. You know, and it primarily lies on the defensive side of the football. And, you know, remember, they got rid of Mike Pettine, you know, who they felt like was a
defensive. I don't know what they felt like. You know, they're top 10.
Well, I'm just saying. They got rid of him thinking that they were going to get a quote-unquote upgrade with Joe Burry as a defensive coordinator. And all I've seen the past couple weeks is teams running up and down the field, on whether it's in the running game, in the passing game, whatever way teams have wanted to attack the Green Bay Packers on defense.
Defense is Burger King?
Have it your way? Yeah. Oh, teams are having it their way with the Green Bay Packers defense. Unless that side of the ball tightens things up significantly, the Green Bay Packers will not come out of the NFC. No way.
Can I defend Mike Pettine's system first?
No.
What I'm saying is, when I say defend, I say defend to the people out there in Green Bay who thought they were getting an upgrade. That defense was built for a 3-4 for a Mike Pettine aggressive attacking defense, which covers up a lot of guys that may not be good football players. So now you have guys that have to actually rush the passer, four-man rush. That gets masked up without having the disguise, having the trolls or having guys move around. You know, you get blown assignments, and sometimes the scheme gets you open, you know, hits at the quarterback. Now guys have to earn it, and they're not good enough to earn it. Mike Pettine's system covered that up.
Okay, so that's the situation that we have right now in Green Bay. There's one huge thing they have going for them, and that is they compete in a division that we don't expect anybody else to be there late in the year. So maybe the Packers wind up winning that almost by default, which brings us to Chicago, which is where the big news is. Justin Fields is finally going to get his first start Sunday against a pretty good team in the Cleveland Browns. That's because Andy Dalton is dealing with a left knee injury. The Bears coach is Matt Nagy. He was asked yesterday what will happen when Dalton's knee gets better. Here's what he said.
When Andy is healthy, he's our starter. And then I go back to for Justin. Justin's worrying about right now, and Justin's worried about trying to help us beat Cleveland. I've talked about it this entire time that we're not going to get into that what-if game. I don't really want to go there other than just saying that when Andy is healthy, he's our starter.
Okay, I like that. So when Andy is healthy, he's our starter. Now, Lewis, you know Matt Nagy really well. You worked with him and know him well. So take me into that meeting room. Andy Dalton's our starter. Now, on Sunday, Justin Fields goes out there, runs for two touchdowns, throws another one, throws for 200 yards, looks efficient and dynamic and outstanding. Tell me what that meeting is like on Monday with Matt Nagy and his coaches when they talk about who their starter is.
It's probably the same way some of the meetings were in Kansas City when they saw Patrick Mahomes like just ripping it up in practice, although Alex Smith was having a great year. There was some thought about, should we put Patrick in here? Should we really put him in there? They're going to have that same discussion if Justin Fields tears it up against Cleveland and throws for, you know, 250, 275, is very efficient, doesn't turn it over. Of course, because this was the guy who they traded up to draft, and there's no mistaking the fact that he is a better prospect than Andy Dalton. It's just a matter of whether or not they feel as though he can protect himself and protect the team and get them to where they need to get to as far as, you know, efficiently moving the football. you know, without putting himself in harm's way. If he does that, that conversation will be this. Do we move forward with him right now? Because we have the opening with which to do it. And I think he left himself some wiggle room in that comment right there. He said, only thing I'm going to say, I'm not going to go there as far as Justin is concerned. I'm just going to say this. When Andy is healthy, he's our starter and we'll go from there. That means it's up for discussion if the situation dictates that. And it will be.
Yeah, by the way, they play the Lions the following week, for whoever that is worth. And so, Jeff, let me come to you. What further can you light can you shed on this situation for us?
Well, I will never disagree with Lewis when it comes to this situation at all. He's so intimately familiar with it. I just would add that I feel like Andy Dalton and Alex Smith are very different people when it comes to the goodwill that they have with their respective teams. Andy Dalton being obviously new to Chicago. So I do think that the trigger will be easier to pull when it comes to keeping Fields in the game. But to your point also, I think Matt Nagy is doing a really smart thing here by essentially maybe being the fall guy for this situation where if Justin Fields does go in that game and perhaps doesn't look all that ready, he can then say, I told you guys that when Andy is healthy, he'll be back, as opposed to trying to go through that awkward thing that Dolphins did last year with Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick where they're bouncing in and out of the game. So I actually think that Nagy is doing a very good job of insulating his organization to make sure that this is the most smooth transition possible.
Okay, so D Wood, you look skeptical.
Go ahead, Damian.
You look skeptical. I was going to try and move on into talking about game plan, but I can't not address that face. What do you got for me, D Wood?
I think it's all BS, man. This is all BS. Lewis over there laughing. Everybody laughing. Like, this is all BS, man. Like, the fact that Matt Nagy talking about, you know, that he's not ready. Okay, if he's not ready, then why in the hell do you got Nick Foles in you know, on the team,
yeah,
on part of your 53. Why are you paying that man all this money? Can someone explain that to me? Yeah. You sitting here talking about Justin Fields isn't ready. How many quarterbacks are ready? I mean, we're seeing Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. We're seeing Zach Wilson in New York. Okay. Like, with teams that have supposedly worked. But we got a team in Chicago Bears who went to the playoffs last year. And they all now, you know, he's not ready. Okay, well, you have a team around him to help him out. But you're sitting here telling me he's not ready, but you won't put in Nick Foles. Okay. Like, none of this makes any sense to me. None of it. Y'all can sit here and talk all of this stuff, all you want about this scenario, that scenario. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I yield my time to
Lewis. Yes, Lewis, go.
But let me ask you this, though. I have a question. And I'm not defending Matt Nagy. Everybody knows I'm close with him. You know, he's a good friend of mine. But when did Matt say that Justin isn't ready? He never said he's not ready. He has said that when it's time, he's kind of like, I'm paraphrasing, when it's time for him to go, when I feel as though it's best for him to go ahead and play, he'll put him in there. Let me ask you this. I don't care how many young quarterbacks are playing right now, because as a Jets fan, Greeny, let me just ask you
God.
This. Would you like to see Zach Wilson sit down right now? Do you think it was just good for Zach Wilson to be out there? Do you think what happened to Zach Wilson against New England is just going to benefit him down the road? Hey, let him go out there and get his brains beat in. Throw four picks. Hey, throw another one. Just keep throwing them because you know what?
Lewis,
you're
just going to
lose. Lewis,
going to happen.
Hold on, Lewis. Let me ask you something. We all know the script with Andy Dalton. You going to sit here and tell me right now from the body of work that we've seen from Andy Dalton, that with the body of work we've seen from Andy Dalton, you mean to tell me that Justin Fields, I feel like we're relitigating things right
you
now,
know.
But you mean to tell me
you
that
know.
Justin Fields right now, he should have been the starter. I don't like
you know,
this whole,
listen,
like,
you know,
come on, man.
I don't know about that, D.
You know what my answer is to that question. You know that my answer is this, that I thought that Justin Fields, comparing him to Andy Dalton, that's not the issue here. As far as which guy has more upside and which guy is the more exciting player and which guy could potentially put this team on track to really do the things that they need to do. You know how I feel about that. You also know I have talked extensively about the fact that I believe that you have to be very careful with young quarterbacks. And I've heard many coaches just say it, and I've seen it happen myself. You don't want to have guys getting shell-shocked out there because that quarterback in New York is very much so in danger of being shell-shocked now. Let him have a couple more performances like that. Greeny, your Jets are going to be looking for another quarterback. And I'm sure Matt is just trying to safeguard that happening. And he's willing to take the bullets from us in the time being in order to do what's right for that quarterback, hopefully in the future.
All right, I have to leave it there for the moment.
Lewis sternum is sweating. I can see drips of perspiration on his sternum.
Coming up next, I will let Bart say as much as he wants to coming up in our next segment as we continue in a moment. And what are we doing? Oh, how about them Cowboys? I have jumped on the bandwagon. Damian Woody is going to yell at me now. First he's yelling at Lewis. Now he's going to yell at me. It's going to be a lot of D Wood yelling going on. And then we're going to get to Tom Brady. How does he feel about winning a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick? You have to hear what his dad had to say. All that and more as we roll on. It's a spirited morning. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm
all in on the Cowboys. I'm all in.
You got the accent? How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? They're for real. Dak is a legit MVP candidate. I can't even see. Dak is a legit MVP candidate.
I was on the fence, but you got me sold.
Let's go.
How about them Cowboys?
How about it?
Put that cowboy hat. If I have one, I grab one right now.
How about them Cowboys? I'm in. I'm all in. All right, so that was yesterday here. Damian Woody, I think that face speaks 1,000 words. What is your reaction to this, D. Wood?
Greeny, Bartholomew, I want you to hear exactly what I got to say right now. Because this man right here, all offseason, was constantly hollering about the Washington football team. How the Washington football team had this, the defense, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the weapons and all that. And here it is, week 3, and you wearing cowboy hats on set? Talking about you all in on the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Greeny, I look to you as a very rational person, a guy who kind of leveled things out, and you done pushed your chips all in on the Cowboys. What the hell is going on with you?
Well, you bring up a lot of interesting points. And what I will say is, A, Ryan Fitzpatrick is no longer standing upright, so that is a problem. B, the Washington football team, I've not yet fully given up. I still think that most of the things that I said about them are right. But C, this is the most important point that I want to make to you right now, my friend D. Wood, and that is this. The Dallas Cowboys, I think, who are the team that have always gotten everything wrong, may have finally gotten everything right. The defensive coordinator, I'm in. Micah Parsons, I think, might be the next NFL superstar on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. Tony Pollard has actually given them a running game, which Zeke Elliott is no longer capable of giving them. Mm-hmm. They have been mixing and matching on their offensive line effectively through the first few weeks of the season and handle adversity extremely well. But none of those are the reason I'm in. And I told this to Lewis earlier, and I want to look right in your face as I say this. I have been wrong about Dak Prescott all this time. I will admit, I believed he was a good NFL quarterback. And what he has shown me through 2 weeks, particularly that opening night against Tampa, is that I now believe he is a great NFL quarterback. And having an elite NFL quarterback elevates things in ways that go beyond sometimes personnel and scheme. And I believe Dak has now ascended to that level of greatness in the NFL, of which I will admit I did not think he was capable. And that is the primary reason.
Now, the next question, I'm glad you said that, Greg, because the next question is, how far can the Dallas Cowboys go off of what you just said?
I now believe they are going to win that division, which I did not believe. Now, again, it's a long way to go, and I've not given up on Washington. The defense is off to a disappointing start. But the Cowboys are just better than I thought. Sometimes you have to call it like you see it. And so, when they're right, they're right. Bart, go.
Greeny, if they would have lost that game, would you have came in here with that same opinion?
No, because that's a game they should lose. They're playing at the Chargers, who I think are an excellent team. I think the Chargers, when the season is over, are going to push Kansas City to the limit in the AFC West. They have an outstanding young quarterback, a great offensive line. They're playing their first ever game in their home stadium, although it sounded like there were a lot of Cowboy fans in that building from what I could tell. Everything in the world, they're playing without offensive linemen here and there, and DeMarcus Lawrence got hurt on a Wednesday. Yeah. Everything in the world was lined up against them in that game against the Chargers, and they found a way to win it, as improbable as it seems.
So you're saying now that Dak Prescott is a force multiplier, meaning that he can overcome the shortcomings of his defense.
Yes.
Listen, I agree with you there, but you know, the question is, and everything that we talk about when we talk about the Dallas Cowboys, are that they are a Super Bowl contender. Maybe they can get in. Listen, me and D. Wood went to two AFC championships with teams that wouldn't be considered, you know, great teams going into the season. Like, I believe they can figure it out. I don't think they're coming for this big rude awakening that everybody believes that they're going to mess it up. But I don't think they can go far. But let's see. You know, I'm going to roll with you, Greeny. And Pierce Bronson would be happy and proud. You did a good Cowboy.
Okay, fair enough. I'm doing the best that I possibly can. I don't know what Pierce Brosnan. That's obviously a reference to a movie. When did Pierce Brosnan play a Cowboy?
I thought he did.
I don't know.
Death Wish 10? I don't know.
I think he was James Bond.
Don't let the fact get away of a good story.
I think that's Charles
Bronson. Don't let
Bronson.
The fact get away of a good story, Greeny.
I think you're thinking of Charles Bronson.
Yeah, Charles Bronson.
That's Death Wish. Pierce Brosnan was Remington Steele and James Bond. But okay. Candidly, I probably have more in common with him than I do with Charles Bronson. But let me turn over here to someone else. Lewis Riddick, your thoughts?
Yeah, Bart, man. Bart.
I love you, man.
Yeah, I love you too, man. You know that. Look, I understand the optimism surrounding Dallas and the optimism that really starts with Dak Prescott and the fact that, and I love that phrase that Bart used, is Dak truly a force multiplier? Can Dak truly elevate the play of others around him, even on the opposite side of the football? I don't know if he can do it on the defensive side of the football. I do know that this offense does virtually look like at times it can do whatever it wants to do. Meaning, if you really do shut down our running game, I can, even though I know you're going to rush with four and cover with seven, I'm still going to find the holes. I'm still going to be able to pick you apart because my guys are better than yours on the perimeter, number one. And number two, I am that force multiplier. I am on a different level now. The concern, though, for me still is this defense, because this defense is what caused them to lose the football game against Tampa Bay. This defense ultimately could have cost them the football game had it not been for two touchdowns by the Chargers that were called back. And so I'm still not ready to go. I'm all in on this team. And I think Washington is not done yet. I think Washington will be okay with Taylor Heineke. I really do. And I think this D-line will get much better. This is a big game for Dallas this week against Philadelphia, because that's the team that's much better than people really expected them to be. I can tell you that for sure watching their tape. They are much better than people expected them to be.
We will have them on Monday Night Football. Jeff, hold your thought. I'm going to come back to this hour continues and let Jeff and everybody else chime in on this. I have to go to a quick break here. Coming up next, Tom Brady. Wait until you hear what those around him are saying. You'll hear from his dad and his trainer as he gets set to return to New England a week from Sunday. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Jeff Darlington back with us as we run along here on Get Up. And Jeff, let's run the hurry up, beginning with news on Odell Beckham Jr.
Good news so far, Greeny, when it comes to Odell Beckham Jr. He was full go in practice already so far this week, and we expect that to continue to progress to his first start of the season on Sunday. The timing couldn't be better, as Jarvis Landry was added to the injured reserve this week and will miss at least the next three games. So we'll find out about OBJ and Baker Mayfield's chemistry in an all-important game coming this Sunday. Now, Carson Wentz
I don't know how you do this, but when you sprain two ankles, it certainly makes you questionable for the upcoming game. That's exactly what happened to Wentz in this last game on two different occasions. Sprains one ankle, then the other. Wentz said that his right ankle is actually worse than the other ankle, which is problematic for a right-handed thrower. Frank Reich is planning as if he won't be able to play, but Wentz still trying to, as he said, throw the kitchen sink at his treatments to maybe be able to find a way to get on the field this coming weekend. Tua Tagovailoa will be out of this weekend's game against the Raiders. Here's the problem. Originally diagnosed as basically contusions to the rib, where we just thought this was some bruising, Brian Flores came out yesterday and said further testing has revealed that, in fact, he does have fractured ribs, so he'll miss this game, and we'll see. He's on a day-to-day timetable moving forward. We should point out Drew Brees had the rib injury last year. Originally diagnosed, same thing, bruised ribs, ultimately was 11 fractures to his ribs. He missed four games. Doesn't sound like Tua will miss that many, but if you're looking for a little bit of a precedent there, that's probably the one to look toward.
All right, so that's the situation in one case in the AFC East. Let's talk about a quarterback who owned that division for a very long time and is now in Tampa. That's Tom Brady, who's off to an unbelievable start. 9 touchdowns in his first two games. This weekend, he's got Aaron Donald and the Rams. Next weekend, his return to Foxborough to play the Patriots. Now, there's a bunch of stuff you need to hear leading into that. Let's start with Brady's dad on Tom Curran's Patriots Talk podcast.
Do you find a measure of vindication for your kid?
Damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year he threw 56 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year.
Do you think that Tom feels the same way?
Damn right.
All right, so that's dad going there, and that seemed like more than enough for us to react to. But then we just got this. This was literally just sent to me in the last few minutes. I don't even know if we have this built yet, but it's Brady's personal. Oh, we do. Well done. This is Alex Guerrero, which is Brady's personal trainer and business partner, the whole TB12 thing. He told the Boston Herald, quote, "I think in time with Tom, as Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid that he drafted. And all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older, so he should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared that he was treated differently. I think that was such a Bill thing. He never evolved. So you can't treat someone who's in his 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work." So that's obviously fascinating, and we have exactly the right people to unpack this. Damian Woody played with Tom Brady. Louis Riddick played for Bill Belichick. But Jeff Darlington, I'll start with you, because no one was more connected to this story when Brady left New England than you were. In fact, you broke that news live on this show. So as you hear particularly Guerrero's comments there, what can you tell us?
Well, Alex's comments are dead on in a way most people feel around Tom Brady, that look, the guy was a 40-year-old man. He wasn't a 20-year-old kid anymore. And there is a difference in the way that you treat somebody. And they felt in New England that that never evolved. That relationship never evolved to that point, that Tom maintained that soldier-like mentality. None of what you're hearing from Tom Sr. or Alex should necessarily surprise anybody. The writing has been on the wall for all these years. It's just that things were kept so veiled in New England that when we do hear them now, we're like, wait a second, we didn't know about that. And it's like, yeah, that was kind of exactly what's going on. The one thing I'd add here is Tom Sr., wonderful man. Every time he talks, everybody in Tom Brady's camp, they duck for cover, because that is an honest man. And he's going to speak it like a true father would. And that's exactly what Tom Sr. did right there.
I agree. I mean, he's been a terrific guest on my radio show many times, but that was a very direct, even by his standards. Do you feel vindicated? Damn right. Does Tom feel vindicated? Damn right. So that's the buildup. And that isn't even their next game. Imagine what next week is going to be like. All right, Lewis. You played for Bill Belichick in Cleveland, so you know him, and you know him as a head coach. Again, you heard the quotes there from Alex Guerrero. He was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid. That's such a Bill thing. He never evolved. Lewis, what's your reaction?
Look, I'm not shocked by that in the least, man. Look, Bill is Bill's unique. He's not for everyone. He really does believe that in order to get the ultimate results, that you have to do things in a certain way, and that means holding everyone accountable and not really, you know, giving players the kind of preferential treatment that many believe in the NFL and in the NBA and otherwise comes with a certain level of status. He tries to keep it very much so even keel. And look, and I am someone who believes that with a certain level of accomplishment should come certain levels of privilege within, you know, a football team or a basketball team or whatever team that you're talking about or organization you're talking about. But Bill is a hard charger, man. Bill is very much so a guy who believes that his way is the right way. His way is the Patriot way, and his way is what has led to this team becoming an absolute dynasty. At the same time, I have always been one who has said, I just wonder at certain points in time, you know, behind closed doors, how much Tom ever felt as though when he was in New England, like, I'm Tom bleeping Brady, man. Like, you can't treat me like that. Do you know who I am? I'm Tom Brady. Do you know what I've done? And you know what? It seems like now people are talking about the fact and expressing the fact that he was feeling that way. And maybe it did lead to him going ahead and saying, look, it's time for me to go, man. It's time for me to go and be me. And now you're seeing him express himself in ways we've never seen, which may be how he always wanted to be anyway. But he was the good soldier. They won a lot of championships. But now everyone's moved on.
Let me come to D. Wood, because, again, you played for Bill at the beginning of your career. You played with Brady when he was a young player there and won Super Bowls with him. What is your perspective on all this?
I think what Tom Senior said is exactly how they feel.
Mm.
Exactly how they feel. I think what you're seeing, you saw for 20 years two alphas just coincide, just existing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call existing together, because I can tell you that what Lewis talked about, how Tom felt like, you know what? I'm Tom Brady, damn it. Like, do you check my resume? Right. Yes, you got a resume, but damn it, check my resume. Like, I shouldn't be treated like everybody else on the roster because of what I've done. And so none of this stuff is surprising at all. And I think in the back of Tom's mind, I know Tom is going to be, they're going to be playing the Rams, but I'm telling you, in the back of Tom's mind, he would love to go to New England and thrash New England up there at One Foxborough Place. I can tell you that right now.
That game is a week from Sunday night. Again, they play the Rams this week, which is the only game our analytics don't favor them, meaning the Bucks, to win. There's a lot to unpack. This is fascinating stuff on both fronts. We'll have more on it as we go. I also want to remind you that Saturday night coming up, it's fight night. Two title fights and the return of Nick Diaz to the octagon, taking on former champ Ruthless Robbie Lawler. That highlights the UFC 266 stacked card. The prelims are on ESPN News, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus, starting 8 Eastern, followed by the main card on pay-per-view. To order in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Coming up, the one player who has changed everything in Dallas, and I'm not talking about Dak. Wait until you hear what Micah Parsons had to say about quarterbacks. You're going to love it. It's next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up talking about the Dallas Cowboys and their defense and their young star rookie, Micah Parsons. Listen to what he had to say after his impressive debut at defensive end last Sunday against the Chargers.
I mean, I want all of them. Herbert was just the guy I had that week, you know what I'm saying? But Hurts, he's on the hit list now, too. I look at it to be like the Terminator out there.
That is fun to hear from a defensive player. And, you know, again, Lewis Riddick, you're getting set to do them on Monday Night Football. And he's talking about Jalen Hurts because they will play the Eagles. But as you have looked at the tape now of his performance at defensive end, which, again, I will remind people, it's not his position. He got forced into there because mm-hmm. they had an injury in the middle of the week in practice. So it's not even something he had all week to prepare for. And he dominated the football game. As you have watched the tape, what is your perspective? What can you tell us about this young star?
He's just that. He's a star. And his star is just going to get brighter and brighter. Look, I thought going back to the very day that they drafted him that he was the key to this football team's success this year. And people would look at me like, what are you talking about? Micah needs to be going forward, meaning he needs to be chasing quarterbacks down, whether that be from a two-point stance or with his hand in the dirt as a true rush defensive end. He needs to be going after quarterbacks. Don't waste his talents covering people, dropping back into coverage, whether it be zone or man coverage. Send him after the quarterback because he has a natural gift. He has a natural way of being able to anticipate and feel the leverage of offensive linemen, play with tremendous leverage and explosiveness himself, and he has that competitive will that says, look, I don't care who I'm going against or how big the task is, I'm going to find a way. And that's exactly what he showed through 2 weeks, and he's going to need to show that the rest of the year. I don't think he's going back to linebacker in sub situations. He will be rushing the passer, and we're all going to have fun watching it.
Bart Scott, let me come to you, because that just, when he said that, I thought of you immediately. You got to be like the Terminator out there.
Yeah, yeah.
No one played angrier. I mean, if Bart Scott could seem angrier than he does normally on this show, then you have to watch his NFL films. No one played angrier than Bart Scott does. And this kid seems to have a little bit of that.
I mean, he has that it factor, right? And listen, he's daring to be great. And, you know, I too did have to, in our sink fronts, go down and play that position. Now, D. Wood would love to see a guy that light over there. And there's some things that he's going to have to learn, because as they start the game plan for him, if that's going to be his natural position, all those things that he's doing right there, the swimming over the top, you know, somebody's going to catch him underneath that armpit, but he'll learn and he'll figure it all out. Listen, that's what the team needs, and he's versatile to do that. And that's how you get on the field, by having versatility, because what happens is they can't identify, D. Wood can't identify if he's a big or if he's a traditional stand-up guy. He's a guy you also can use in coverage and dropping back and taking away using his athleticism.
Let's go all the way back to earlier when I told you that I'm on the Cowboy bandwagon. How about them Cowboys? And you yelled at me. Mm-hmm. I will say that another part of the reason is I don't know what their defense is, but I do know what it's not. It's not a joke anymore. That defense was awful, and it doesn't look awful now, and I think there are two primary reasons. One is the new coordinator, Dan Quinn, mm-hmm. and the other is Micah Parsons.
Well, listen, when you started at the bottom, the only place you can go is up. And what Dan Quinn, that was one of the reasons why I was, you know, bullish on the Cowboys winning the NFC East, because I figured Dan Quinn is going to come in to this Cowboys defense. He's going to simplify everything. And what you do when you simplify things, you guys play fast because they don't think. Guy like Micah Parsons, he's a special, special talent. And Greeny, what makes this even more remarkable is the fact that he opted out last year.
Yeah.
He didn't even play football. He hasn't played football in 2 years.
Right.
And he comes back in, and he's doing all these things now. Imagine where Micah Parsons is going to be in a month, 2 months from now. Like, this dude is just playing on natural instincts. Mm-hmm. When it all comes together, man, this dude is going to be a special, special defensive player in this league for a long time.
What would you teach him, D. Wood? What would you teach him if he was across from you, not knowing what he don't know what he don't know?
Don't come down the middle on me. Stay on the edges. Because once I put these hands on you, these hands have killed a lot of people. Once I put these hands on you, it's a wrap, okay? It's a wrap. Just work the edges. Yeah, Greeny, slide on over there. These hands are lethal now. Just stay on the edges. You stay on the edges, you might be all right.
Suddenly that yelling at me feels a little different. Jeff Darlington, let me come to you, because as we talked about the Cowboys earlier, I was never able to get you in. So let me give you the floor here. Your perspective, you hear the conversation. The defense is better. The quarterback is elite. What can you tell us?
Well, I would just bring it back to what you're talking about with Micah Parsons. And remember where Dan Quinn comes from. The last time he was a defensive coordinator back in 2014 was with the Seattle Seahawks. And one of the things that he is willing to do that sometimes coaches aren't, and it sounds silly and simple, but he is willing to put these players in positions to be stars, just as he did when we saw all of those Seahawks players back in 2014 become absolute stars in his defense. He will do that. You say Micah Parsons was sort of forced to the outside? No, he is gently moved out there to be a beast. Dan Quinn knew what he was doing when he did this, and I just think it's very important to remember not to take anything away from Parsons, but Dan Quinn will make him better.
All right. I'm really looking forward to Lewis's further evaluation of the tape as you continue working your way towards that game. Again, it's Dallas and Philly on Monday night, on Monday Night Football on ESPN. Obviously, Lewis calling the game. Should be a fascinating show in a variety of ways. Meanwhile, tomorrow on ESPN and the app, speaking of fascinating, we have three postseason impact baseball games for you. Two Eastern is the Cardinals and the Cubs at Wrigley. The Cardinals have been unbelievable. Then primetime, we have the Yankees and the Red Sox. That just has absolutely everything at stake at Fenway. And then we cap the night with the Braves and the Padres at Petco Park. So terrific baseball action coming your way tomorrow on ESPN. Meanwhile, First Take is coming your way here on ESPN. At the top of the hour, are the Rams Tom Brady's biggest roadblock to a Super Bowl repeat? And is there any reason to still believe in Carson Wentz? Molly, Stephen A., Dan Orlovsky talking that and more as First Take follows us here on ESPN. But don't go anywhere, because up next, we save the best for last. We got the big man. We got the tiny helmets. We're going to need goggles. We're going to need protective gear, because stuff is getting smashed right after this. Get up on ESPN.
Take your eyebrows, boy.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The WNBA playoffs tip off tonight with a doubleheader on ESPN2 and the app. These first-round games, both single elimination. So it's win or your season is over. You got Dallas and Chicago, 8 Eastern, followed by New York against Phoenix. Again, all the action do or die tonight on ESPN2. And it is now one of our favorite times of the week. It is time for Big Man Tiny Helmets, where Damian Woody is going to pick some of this weekend's games by smashing the helmet of the teams that he thinks are going to lose. And Bart and I are going to be ducking for cover, because generally there's been shrapnel in the studio the last couple of weeks. So we start with a huge game on Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon, I should say. Bucks, Rams, Tom Brady going out to L.A. to play against Aaron Donald. The analytics, our analytics, say this is the one game the Buccaneers are not favored to win. What do you think?
Yeah, Greeny, listen, this is one of the premier games this weekend. We got the Bucs going out to Los Angeles. I think the Los Angeles Rams have question marks on defense, but I think they have this game circled because they want to send a statement to the Super Bowl champs early in the season. I think Matthew Stafford has a big game, so I'm going to... That was just pathetic, Greeny.
Yeah, well,
that was real pathetic.
What did they do to you?
That was correct.
That was real pathetic
hit
on my part. So I'm going that way. I had to redeem myself.
You heard Greeny. We ain't got no show, man. I need my paycheck.
In my mouth.
You got to be careful of this shrapnel out here. We got to be careful of the shrapnel.
A little piece of that actually went in my mouth.
Medic!
This segment is dangerous.
Yeah.
By the way, let's not bury the lead. You think the Rams are beating the Bucs this weekend?
I do. I never said that the Bucs would go undefeated. You okay, my friend?
No, I have like a little bit of helmet in my mouth. Okay. All right, let's go to the next one. I'm completely lost. Eagles, Cowboys. So that's the Monday night game. We've been talking a lot about the Cowboys, a divisional matchup against Jalen Hurts and company. What do you think?
Yeah, listen, I think the Philadelphia Eagles are a lot better than what people think, you know, what people think they are.
Yeah.
I like them on both sides of the line of scrimmage. But for me, this is all about the Cowboys defense with Dak Prescott and a defense that's rising to the occasion. We talked about Michael Parsons being all over the field. So for me.
Wow.
The force, you see how it just hit me and then just ricocheted? Like, yeah, that's what I call my force multiplier.
Now,
right there.
We didn't have a Cowboys tiny helmet, so we put my hat up here.
Your Pierce Bart,
am I to understand you disagree with this pick?
Yeah, I don't want to be in your segment, D-Wood, but I can't disagree with you more. You talk about Michael Parsons, I raise you, Elaine Johnson. We're going to find out what he about.
Wow.
Wow.
This hat has been... some damage has been done to this hat. Let's see how this looks on like this. Now, we
you
got
like,
a problem.
You're like Woody. You're like Woody from Toys.
We got a problem. Okay, one more piece of business here. We got the Panthers and the Texans kicking off the weekend tonight. We got Carolina at 2-0. We got the Texans, who have been better than people, I think, expected through the first 2 weeks of the season. What do you? Oh, do I have the odds tonight? Yes, Caesar Sportsbook doesn't see this as a particularly close game tonight. Carolina is a favorite of significant. You see it right there. They're minus 400. Houston is plus 310. RFPI gives Carolina a 63% chance of winning the game. D-Wood, what do your helmets have to say?
Yeah, listen, for me, it's obviously Sam Darnold is playing significantly better down there in Carolina. But to me, the story in Carolina is that defense. That defense just caused havoc the first 2 weeks. Phil Snow, defensive coordinator, has been dialing it all up. So this one is easy. No Tyrod Taylor. No shot. Get off the damn
table.
That's what we wrote.
I didn't use my Cobra insurance, man.
My goodness. I think just smashing it once probably told the tale. One way or another, that's the pick as I bring the rest of the crew in here today. And I won't leave a lot of mystery in this because it's not the sexiest matchup tonight with the Panthers and the Texans. Everyone in this group agrees here that the Carolina Panthers are going to win. Oh, there they are. They're behind us, guys. D-Wood is blocking them out, as he frequently does with
his
son.
Yes, I do.
So there's Lewis Riddick and Jeff Darlington. Everybody, you can put them up there, Chrissy. Go ahead. Everybody's got Carolina tonight. We'll see what winds up happening. One way or another, any thoughts on all this? Lewis Riddick, he just picked the Rams to beat the Bucks. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm going with that one too, man. I think this is one of those vindication rather those statement games by Matthew Stafford. Yeah.
How about you?
I'm going with the Rams too.
We good? We cool?
No, we ain't. No. We got to talk off camera, bro. We got to talk off camera.
Jeff, you don't see it that way.
You guys are. No. What have we seen that would indicate that the Bucs are going to lose to the Rams? You guys are overthinking this one. You football minds. You got to be more sophomoric.
Why don't you get. Oh, like, hey, don't you got to twirl something, Jeff? Go twirl something, man.
Hey. It's for you, Lou. It's for you, Lou.
Oh, he can do it like easy.
Here we.
You
see what I'm saying?
He never drops it.
It's amazing.
That's for you, man.
Well,
you do birthday parties?
I'll just say it out loud. The last couple of minutes have been a mess. But it's been a delightful day. Thanks so much for getting up with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.